The Business on RT Radio 1 with Ulster Bank. For when you're keen to know what Brexit means for your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/Brexit.
Well, this week saw the world's leading economists and activists come together for the summit at Davos to discuss issues such as climate change, Brexit and the world economy. Our next guest is no stranger to that world. She's worked in senior posts in private finance and UK government sectors. Drawing from her experience, Vicky Price has written a book called Women versus Capitalism: Why We Can't Have It All in a Free Market Economy. She thinks that companies are too busy focusing on profits to change their culture. Vicky, women are obviously equally as capable as men at achieving strong profits. Why do you think they aren't in the top jobs?
Of course, but you've got to have the woman there. And in order for the woman to be there, you have to have invested in your pipeline. You have to change the culture to ensure that women stay in the firm, or at least that they are somewhere that you can find them from. And what happens right now is that either women disappear from the workforce for all sorts of reasons, because they don't feel wanted, there aren't enough role models up there, and that reduces competition with the men. So when you're looking for someone, as you suggested, to run the firm and do well, you just don't have them there. So you don't employ them. And if you do happen to have a woman, and there are very few around who run big firms, then they are scrutinized much more heavily than the men in terms of what they achieve. And if they fail, then you know people make assumptions that, well, we put a woman there, she didn't do very well, so why should we bother next time?
Do you think that women are more heavily scrutinized when they are in top positions in the corporate world? I mean, ultimately, the scrutiny comes from shareholders, it comes from the board, it comes from perhaps the media, if it's a very high-profile company. Do you think that they will target female executives more harshly than males?
The men will be targeted more harshly, but the assumptions that are then made in relation to how they perform get extrapolated as being something that shows quite clearly that women can't do it. And there is a thing that I refer to in my book called the glass cliff. We all know about the glass ceiling. You hit it as a woman and then perhaps you can't move any further up. And that's why we have so few female chief executives in the UK who run FTSE 100 companies. But there's also such a thing as the glass cliff, which is that women are offered and get given jobs which most men around them know are going to be very difficult. And they are almost bound to fail. Or at least if they manage to succeed, that would be fantastic. But it's very hard to get that particular job to be a serious success. And if they fail, then it is assumed that it's because they're a woman rather than because that job was actually impossible. So there is a lot of evidence of that and a lot of literature that covers that particular habit that exists out there to get women into that position and then watch what they do and then basically generalize and say, obviously women can't do it. But so my advice is don't take those jobs if you're a woman. Be very, very careful what jobs you take.
What are those jobs or what are the circumstances of those jobs? Because as you describe it, you're implying that the men are actually, they're stitching the woman up. They're actually setting her up for a fall. And surely if they're involved in the organisation, they don't want that to happen either.
No, you're right. They may not be that inclined to just set them up for fall. It's just that they won't do those jobs themselves because they have seen perhaps or have more experience of the difficulties that exist. One example is heads of remuneration committees. So there are a few women on boards and for some reason they either do HR or they do a remuneration committee. And of course, that is the most difficult because you get shareholders screaming if it's too high or what have you. And there have been a number of cases where the heads of those committees have had to go and explain themselves in front of the Treasury Select Committee in the UK. And you can see that they're women. They're mostly women. And they get attacked for whatever decision they made. That decision, of course, is very often one that they haven't been able to resist because the rest of the board, made up mostly of men, pushes for those increases to happen. Because, of course, they all sit on different boards and or are chief executives in other companies and would very much like to have something similar themselves.
So if they're on the remuneration committee and they pay the executives too much, that can backfire badly. And if they don't pay them a huge amount, they can become very unpopular. And so, therefore, it's an unpopular job in which you're not going to make a lot of friends.
That's right. And again, in my book, I say, please don't do those jobs if you can.
Is this ultimately, though, really about inequality? Or is it about, for example, there are certain sectors and industries that there are definitely fewer women in senior positions in, but also in some industries, let's say, for example, fewer 16-year-old girls will study physics. So therefore, they end up ruling themselves out of a career in engineering and so forth.
There is all that, and you're quite right. But what you see is that there isn't a single sector in the UK economy where women are paid more than men who work in that sector, even in areas where they are in a serious majority, because what tends to happen is that the senior jobs, even the way they dominate in terms of numbers, the senior jobs go mostly to men. So there is that issue. But you're absolutely right about what women and girls decide to study. For example, not enough do economics, I'm sorry to have to say, because they get put off by this idea that economics is all about money in the city, which it isn't. It's a lot more than that. It's cost-benefit, working for the government, doing really extraordinary things with behavioural economics. But anyway, that's a different story. But yes, they're not guided sufficiently at school to do the right things. But of course, they're not guided to do the right things because their role models aren't there. If they were seeing many, many more women in those positions, then that would certainly change. But what tends to happen is partly because of the choices girls make by comparison to the boys, and partly because through motherhood or other reasons they work more part-time than the men. In the UK, 43% of women work part-time as against 13% of men. The gap is really quite significant in terms of hourly pay for part-time in relation to full-time male work, which is about 35%. And of course, through your life, you earn less, you have less pension. So there is an inequality that is inbuilt into the system, which ends up with women, by the time they reach pension age, having only a fifth of the pension wealth of a man. And they're downwardly mobile. They're the ones who are more likely to move into poverty.
There's an interesting report published here in Ireland this week, which looks at the whole gender issue in the aviation sector. And it points out that globally, 5% of pilots are female, 3% of chief executives are female. But it also talks a bit about the male working culture in that, along with other industries as well. And it talks about this actually begins at the recruitment process and the interview process, where there is still, in certain industries, a very male-dominated culture, which results in more men being hired than women, essentially.
There is a lot of that in many sectors. Look at the financial sector as well. The truth is that, and it's been proven in quite a lot of the literature that I have seen and psychological tests and so on, that people tend to hire people like themselves much more than hire someone who may be quite different. So you tend to go for the lazy option. It's not just the perhaps the macho culture, but that tends to happen overall. So what they've shown is that if there were more women doing the hiring, there would be more women also employed. So the question is how you get around this. So,
well, how do you fix it, if that's the case?
Well, you've got, I'm afraid, to be much tougher with regulation. You're not going to do this.
And positive again, discrimination? Are you in favour of gender quotas?
I'm in favour of gender quotas. That doesn't mean positive discrimination. The way that I perceive the quotas and how they might work is that you have quotas for senior positions over a period of time. You don't discriminate positively at those levels, but what you do is you ensure that your recruitment process is more open, that you keep people so the pipeline is there, so that you can, over a period of time, when you start looking around you for who might replace whoever's just gone or who might get this next new job that you created, you have a range of people to choose from, of whom a number will be women. And there is no reason to think that the women will not be just as good or even better than the man. Or, you know, you could choose a man or you can choose a woman. But it gives you much wider choice. So this is a market failure if you don't have that type of competition, because it allows for people to be promoted who perhaps shouldn't be. And somebody famously said, and I forget who, that we will know we've achieved gender equality when a mediocre woman runs a public company.
Well, Vicky Price, author of Women versus Capitalism, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
Thank you.